Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I am your host, JD, and we have a blast from the past with us today. Care to introduce yourself?
I go by Joshy Spees.
That's right, you do. One of the original Spurs and Salsa hosts is back for a limited time only.
It's an important episode.
It is. So, how you been, man?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Just keep chugging along.
Yeah.
What's been new in the last, 2 years? How long has it been?
Oh, man, it's been a little while. Sadly, there's not much new. We had a lockout, not a lockout season. We had a COVID season. Then we had an off season, a weird football season. And here we are, sort of back to normal.
That's true. Give or take. And we were just joined by, I guess I'd call him your replacement. Do we call him that?
Yeah, that's fine.
New and improved?
Wow. I don't know if we need to say new and improved, but replacement's fine.
Okay.
Wait, cool. Did I miss the intro?
You did, bro.
I'm about to how did that shake out?
Josh was quicker on the draw.
Yikes.
The one and only Mouse is in the house, finally.
Yo, what up? And we're joined.
What's up, Mouse?
What's going on, Josh? It's nice to be on here with you. It feels natural.
Right? It feels right.
You know what it does? And for the record, there were, when y'all started this, how long ago was it? A couple years ago now?
It's been a while, yeah.
There were three of y'all, and I can say with confidence y'all two were my favorite two of the three.
Nice. I like that. Well, you never know what ghost of Spurs and Salsa Pass will come up next, so watch what you say. But for today, it's just us three. Before we get into why Joshy Spees over here demanded he come on today, let's talk a little Spurs. Josh brought up COVID. Things are kind of back to normal, but I think the new normal now is your team is going to be hit by COVID. And for the Spurs, the last few weeks, first it was just DeJounte Murray, which in and of itself stinks because he's the best player. As soon as they get Murray back, they lose Devin Vassell, Derek White. I don't remember who else. But so they struggled. They've struggled to win. It's weird. They're not struggling to compete, but they're struggling to win games. They had that real close game at Brooklyn. As we speak, they're playing the Rockets, but Keldon and Devin are coming off the bench tonight. They're back. What do you guys think so far, the last week, or we'll say the last week, or this whole COVID situation the Spurs have found themselves in?
It's not just the Spurs. It's kind of the league, and it's not even this league. It's other leagues too. It's just a weird new normal where, in the NBA, you're going to be handing out a lot of 10-day contracts for replacement players, and the NFL, you're just going to have to keep people on your practice squad ready to move them up. I don't think there's been a team that's not been hit by it.
Yeah, and you can't use that as an excuse. What I'm saying more is, what do you think of the Spurs and how they've reacted, how they haven't reacted?
I think they've reacted as good as they could. I mean, like you said, they compete. They fail to close out. But I think even when they're at their best, sometimes they have that issue. They'll hang in games and just seem to, like, lose it at the end where they just can't seem to close games out. But I think you expect that with a young team. Now, you can only call them a young team for so long. But
at least the whole year. I mean, yeah. You're a young team right now.
But, yeah, I mean, I think they handled it as well as they could. No anger towards it.
Yeah, if you look at the standings, we're right where we were, kind of before we got hit with this COVID bug, right? We're just one out of the play-in tournament, right? We're sitting at 11. We've been 11 or 12 most of the season, so we're right where we're at. What stands out to me is I'm pumped, and I'm seeing Primo get some playing time. Y'all know where I stand on him. I think it was a huge risk. I wouldn't have taken it. I think there were better people there, but he's showing out, and just a couple of days ago, he hit a game-tying shot to go into OT.
Against Brooklyn as well, yeah.
Yep.
he's getting a lot of minutes, and he's not quite ready for prime time, but he's close.
I think Jeff on Twitter that said he was going back to Austin. Don't kill the messenger. I can't remember who said it.
You're exactly right. It's probably Jeff G from Ken's Five, one of our good friends. Pop did mention that Primo will go back to the G League, and I'm sure it's because Primo's shooting under 40% in the NBA right now. You know, and he's got a beautiful looking shot. He creates for himself. He's not afraid to take it. They just got to refine it a little bit. And maybe not more his shot, just his all-around game. But he holds his own. I think that's been one nice thing about this unfortunate COVID situation is Primo's got – I mean, he's averaging like 15 minutes a game in the NBA right now because of this. So it is a nice surprise. But he – and I know Mouse is going to disagree, but I think he does need to go back to Austin just for a little bit.
Again, you got to start him. I mean, not start him, but you gotta get his reps in the NBA. It's like drafting a quarterback, top tier of the draft. You got to just put him in there. You got to let him play. I mean, what are we playing for here?
Well,
making a run.
I mean, they're a game out of the play-in. You just said it.
Yeah. I understand. We're playing for a spot at the play-in tournament. Do we think we're making a run?
I don't know about a run, but you can make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he takes us out of the playoffs. I think you give him his minutes and let him develop this year versus next year.
I guess at full strength, whose minutes do you take away?
Because that's always the conversation. Yeah, it's always the same thing.
But you need to tell me who.
It's not up to me to tell you whose minutes. That's up to Pop, right? It's up to him to find the rotations. He's the GOAT.
But he made the decision to send him to Austin. I'm saying for you, you want him in the NBA. Take some minutes from someone. Pull the trigger, Mouse.
We've said Bryn Forbes for a while, right? I want to send him out of here, get what we can for him, and give him those minutes.
Okay. Do you think you're trading Bryn Forbes? I don't know if you're getting. I don't know what the market is for a Bryn Forbes.
Yeah, but it's not really about Bryn. It's about getting Primo the minutes. We take Primo so high, we take such a risk. It's, you got to get him the minutes. You got to get him to play. Again, unless next year again is a wash, right? Is next year also going to be they're the young team and we just chalk it up as that? We're fighting to for the play-in tournament?
Well, I think next year is a whole different story because this whole team is getting minutes. You know what I mean? Devin Vassell's getting minutes he never got. Lonnie Walker's getting more shots off than he's ever gotten. DeJounte Murray's now the all-star of this team. I mean, I don't know. If you're asking about Primo, then yeah, Primo will probably have to learn. I don't think he'll be all-star ready next year, but I think he'll be NBA ready. He's 19. I just think their plan the entire time was Primo would be a 2022 lottery pick, but he came out a year early, so you grab him.
How did Tony do in his first year in D-League?
There was no such thing as a G-League.
Yeah, because you play him. The D-League back then.
No, there literally wasn't anything at that point.
There wasn't an NBA D-League?
Not when Parker came out. Because the joke is Parker would have gone to the D-League or G-League. I don't know. The thing, too, is Parker played pro ball. He was a grown man when he got here.
D-League started in 2001. Because Parker had been drafted about 2001.
2001, yeah. And Parker was already playing pro ball. Same with Manu. I mean, they come around. They come differently.
Didn't Pop say he didn't have the luxury of sending Tony had that option been available? Like, he had to start him. This came up in one of the post-game interviews with Pop. I just don't remember the question that was asked, but he said he couldn't have afforded to do that.
Who brought it up? That's interesting.
I don't know. I saw it on...
a media member asked.
It was probably... I saw it on Twitter. I just don't remember who tweeted it. You follow so many San Antonio Spurs fans, so yeah, I can't remember which one.
And I get it. I'm okay with both sides. My whole thing is I don't know where you'd get the minutes because you want Vassell to play a lot. This is a make or break year for Lonnie, so you can't take his minutes because you need to see whether or not.
So then why draft him? If you're not going to play him, why draft him?
Well, I mean, they were pretty honest about it, saying that they were going to stash him and develop him because he was – the thought process was for on the league was Primo in 2022 would have been an early lottery pick, but he came out early and he was going to get drafted in the top 16. The Spurs basically invested – instead of drafting a player at 12 who would be a serviceable player – they shot for the moon. They said, hey, if he's 17 years old or 18 years old and we can develop – instead of him going to Bama another year, we can develop him in our system and then unleash him maybe 2022.
So if he – and I'm just thinking this through, right? So if he is a top lottery pick, right, we're saying maybe top five in 2022 if he stays?
Yeah.
So then he definitely comes into the NBA and he definitely starts. So then we expect him to start next year. Who is he starting for? Who's not going to be here? Because if you're thinking that, then you have to have a game plan. Okay, he's not going to be here, and he's going to start in his spot.
I would say Lonnie Walker because he's the one that's – Lonnie Walker was supposed to be that guy that creates points off the dribble, creates his own shot, that maybe even leading scorer. And Lonnie Walker's the one that's a free agent next year. So to answer your question, I would probably slide him into Lonnie Walker's role. Lonnie's been inconsistent. When he's on, he looks like he could be an all-star. And when he's not, you're wondering where the hell he went. And I think that's why this was a make-or-break year for Lonnie. And he still has half a year to change that narrative. But, yeah, if you're asking me, I would probably slide him right into Lonnie's minutes and role.
That's tough because, y'all know how I feel about Lonnie. I'm not a huge fan of his on the court. But like I said last week, He's oftentimes the best or the second best player on the court, right behind DeJounte.
Yeah, but it's only sometimes. I think consistently I would give Vassell top to bottom second best player on the court. I think Vassell is actually more polished and ready, and if you wanted me to have a gripe with Pop, it would be I think Vassell should be in the starting lineup. But I guess it matters minutes. You know, if Vassell still gets a ton of minutes – then who cares if he starts or not, right? But to me, Vassell's the most polished. I think he's already leapfrogged Derek White, Lonnie Walker, even Keldon.
Yeah, that's wild to think all the hype that was surrounding Keldon before season.
The crazy thing about Keldon, too, is he's developed a little bit more of a three-point shot. So you think once he did that, sky's the limit. But he's struggling and that's why you give these young guys all the run. I mean, that's what this whole season's all about. I'm not going to pretend to use this last week to dictate whether I think they'll make a serious run just because of the roster turn up. You know what I mean? I think I'll say this. I think once the rodeo road trip is over, or that might even be too late, right? Then we sound like we're just waiting. Once we get three more weeks of the full roster, so let's say once the Super Bowl kicks off, we'll know if the Spurs are going to make a real run for one of the playoff spots. Let this roster get back together healthy and let's see them a few weeks before I make a judgment. I know I've said before the season I thought they'd make the playoffs. I still think it's a good roster, good enough to be, you know, a 6 seed, 5 seed, But again, we'll see. And like to Josh's point, we can't blame COVID. Everyone's going to get hit with it. It's just kind of our turn to take the
brunt. So if they're a 5 or 6 seed on paper and we're 11, that means we're underperforming. Who do you blame?
I blame just being young. I mean, let's see at the end of the year. If at the end of the year they're not in that realm, then we can talk about blame. If you're asking right now, it's hard to say. I would say Keldon underperformed. I would say Lonnie's streaky. Those would be my two quick hot takes. But even then, I'm going to give them to the end of the year. We can have this discussion at the end of the year.
Josh, what are your thoughts on Primo?
Sorry, dropped something. I'm kind of in the camp of Mouse where we're not competing for a title this year. Let's get a minute. You want to see what you got. I mean, what do you lose by throwing him in? We're not winning anything this year.
And I don't know if it's that. I think it's more they still want to see what everybody else has. You know what I mean?
But to Mouse, I mean, we know what Brent Forbes has. We give him take that spot.
Okay. I mean, if that's how you'd want it,
I'm kind of good either way. You said it earlier. This is kind of a season for the young guys to get minutes. He's the youngest guy of them all. Throw him out there with the rest of them, and let's see what he's got.
I could see that. If I'm from the outside looking in, it feels like they're grooming Primo not to be a Bryn Forbes or a serviceable player. To me, it really feels like they're developing. They want to develop him into the star player. Like the go-to scorer or the go-to they want to hand him the keys to the entire franchise. It feels like to me. I think they just feel more comfortable doing it the way that they've done it a lot is.
That is my issue. We've had the luxury to do it. Yeah, to do it this long time. We don't have that luxury anymore. Right, we don't have the big three out there and just to send our top pick up to Austin and let them develop for a year or two up there.
Yeah, but they've done it with all of the guys. I mean, that's just kind of their pattern. But even when they didn't have the big three, they still sent Keldon up there. They still – Derek White, Lonnie, they kind of all did their time in Austin. That's just how they like doing it.
Yeah.
If Primo was a top five pick, he probably doesn't go to Austin. If he stays in Alabama for a year and we take him at number five, he probably doesn't go to Austin. But Primo would be a different player with another year under his belt of basketball. I think the Spurs just felt we'd much rather grab him now and we'd much rather teach him ourselves than wait for a lottery pick next year that developed at Bama or some other college. But I get what you're saying. You might as well play him now. My whole thing is I think they want to see what the other young guys, the other wing players, are kind of taking his spot. If they didn't sign Brent Forbes, I think he would be playing. I think they signed Brent Forbes. I mean, their goal this offseason was to get shooters, right? Space the floor. Brent Forbes, Doug McDermott, even Jock Lindell has a little shot. They wanted to get shooters. Even Primo. Primo's a shooter. They want to space the floor. So I think they want to see what most of this roster looks like before, and they're comfortable letting Primo play 30 minutes in Austin a game.
From Twitter on draft night to Twitter now.
Oh, it's been amazing, right?
I don't think I've seen a flip on somebody so hard. How mad people were with that pick. And then there was the kind of joking, like at the beginning, about his last name and then HEB Primo picks and just all the things you could. But to genuine like excitement over him now, like when he's in the game, Twitter goes nuts. It's such a huge turnaround from draft night to today.
It's because – right? I was leading that charge. I hated the pick. But now he's a Spur. He's our Primo, right? We want to see him out there scoring and doing big things.
Oh, yeah. It's the change has been, I think, more drastic than you typically see how much hate a draft pick gets versus how much love they get 3 months later. It was just fun.
I agree 100%. It's been fun. It's been hilarious. It went from who's this guy to we demand that you start, play him right now.
Put him in an HEB commercial today.
There you go. Get that man paid.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Spurs are currently...
They were down three last time I looked. Oh, nice.
19 seconds left before the half.
All right, so we don't need to make any predictions because, again, it's been such a weird week, the last 3 weeks with the Spurs. We'll dive more into what we feel they're going to be the rest of the year or maybe even be more critical later in the season. But the real reason Josh is here is because the Dallas Cowboys made the playoffs.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
And before we get to Josh's reasoning for being here, I want to go back to the Cowboys this week. They played Saturday night. They did not know what the league was going to do, where they would fall in the standings. Everyone had pretty much penciled them in as a fourth seed. Now, Mouse, not Sunday, but Saturday, were you mad that the starters played three quarters?
No. We came on last week and we talked about them needed to get it on a roll, right? They needed okay. to figure find their rhythm. And when you put up a 50-piece on a division rival, it's nice to do that.
Well, it was best case scenario. Not only does Dak get some rhythm. Zeke, there was a comment during the broadcast where Zeke said they rested 1 year, and when they got back, when they got into the playoffs, they were a little rusty. So Zeke wanted to play. Now, there's always an argument. Do you rest them? Do you play them? Not just with the Cowboys, but just in general, right? I would leave it up to the athletes. It's their bodies, right? If Zeke tells you, hey, I want to play because I want to stay in rhythm or get in rhythm, You probably should listen to him. Now, for McCarthy, he looks like an absolute genius, right? The offense lights him up, and then...
Can you say that again for me?
McCarthy looks like a genius.
I like it.
And then the Rams and Cardinals both lose, meaning that little meaningless Saturday night game turned into a very meaningful game, and it landed the Cowboys the 3 seed. So good job for the Cowboys. Great job for McCarthy. And the reason Josh is here is that for those of us that are longtime listeners, you might remember Josh is a big-time 49er fan. So he's here to help us break down the wild card game, specifically Cowboys-Niners. So before me and Mouse start talking, Josh, what are your thoughts going into, like, how do you feel as a Niner fan? How do you, you know, are you confident, scared, overly confident? How do you feel going into the game?
I'm fairly confident.
Stop
overly
right there.
Confident.
Whoa, let him
no,
talk.
Like, I'm not like, I hate making, not predictions, but like statements. I hate being wrong. I'm not going to come on here and guarantee victory, and because that's embarrassing
if it doesn't go your way.
But I think the matchup for us is we're really rolling right now. We finished the season 8-3, like the back half of the season. Our running game seems unstoppable right now. We're as healthy as we've been all year. Our defensive line is nuts. My concern going into the game is really y'all's passing attack and whether or not we can bother Dak, because our secondary is trash. But they're saved by that front four. We don't really blitz too much, but those front four get home more often than not. I think what I would predict for this game is that we keep the ball out of y'all's offensive hand just by controlling the clock and with the run game. I think we're peaking at the right time, but your offense being able to turn it on and off scares me.
Do you like the matchup?
Yeah. I got made fun of for saying win or lose, like loser talk. I'm genuinely just excited about this matchup. There's so much history here. It's fun going against you guys just because there's some fun trash talk and whatnot involved. But I like the matchup for my team. I think we have a favorable matchup. But just because I think y'all's run defense isn't going to be able to stop our running game and we'll control the clock. That's kind of how I think that game's going to go. But I honestly, it's kind of a coin flip game for me. I really don't know. Both teams have been streaky throughout the year. We finished 8-3 and barely made it into the playoffs because the first half of the year we were so bad. Jimmy G can look like a Hall of Famer one day and me the next day. So it's really hard to tell. Shanahan is great at keeping his faults under control. He knows what he can and can't do, and he doesn't get too crazy. So I think Debo Samuel and Micah Parsons is going to be the two highlights to watch in that game. They're both sort of unicorns. They play everywhere on their side of the ball. I'm curious how many times they'll run into each other during that game. Really excited to watch that. But outside of that, just obviously Cowboys Niners is a it's a huge rivalry from the 90s and even before. So I'm excited just to watch a game.
Okay. Mouse, do you care to rebuttal? You, how do you feel as a fan, Mouse, about the game, the matchup?
What?
Let's go matchup first. How do you feel about the matchup?
Well, the matchup is probably the most favorable other than maybe the Eagles for us. Like if I'm looking at the playoff teams, I'd pick to go against San Francisco. And Josh is right. They're definitely kind of hitting on all cylinders, right? They're going in. They're going in doing well. But the defense doesn't worry me. I mean, Bosa does. But other than him, I mean, they're missing some players up front, right? You're missing Kinlaw and Ford.
Yeah, but they've been gone all year. We've been better, really, without them in the game. That's I don't think – and I can't say things without it sounding like trash talk. I don't think y'all are going to be able to run the ball on us at all. We're going to stuff the run. Y'all are going to have to throw. But that is my concern. I don't think y'all are going to be able to run on the line.
Okay. Well, so San Francisco ranks 7th in the league in rush defense.
And is that – that's all year. So I would – I'm curious what those rankings are from, like, week 8 on.
Okay. Mouse, you want a rebuttal about we can't run on them?
Yeah. What are you talking about? You're talking about the best 10 – probably the best 10 in running back in the league, right? And the question is not can we, it's will we, right? Will my concern is – will we run the ball? Will we come out of the game with 12 rushing attempts? That's going to be the issue I have. And I think on our defense will beat 49ers offense. I don't have any concerns about that. We're going to, you know, they're going to have some big plays, right? But I don't see them scoring more than maybe 20, 24 points. And our defense is going to win on that side of the ball. The question is, will our offense, what offense is going to be out there? Are we going to be the offense that puts up 40 and 50, or is it going to be the offense that Dak's, you know, missing slants and, you know, throwing checkdowns the entire game? Is Kellen going to call a good game? Are we going to run 35 wide receiver screens in the red zone? That's where I think the game's 49ers defense versus our offense, because I think our defense gets after it. And we'll attack Jimmy G.
So hearing what Josh said about the 49ers pass defense being garbage, would you still be upset if they threw the ball and they only ran the ball like 15 times during the game?
If you're going to do that, we need Zeke and Pollard to have our touches. Right. And so if you get them the ball in some screen, wherever you get them the ball, you need them to get the ball. But again, if we put up 40, you know, 35, 40 points,
you won't be upset.
And we have a couple of big hit passes, then no, I mean, that's not necessarily, at the end of the day, I want us to win the game. But generally for us, we have to run the ball well for our offense to really be rocking and rolling.
I think you'll struggle to put up 40 points. I don't think we've given up 30 once in the last half of the season, and I think we kept almost everybody else under 20. But you guys have the best offense in the league, so I mean it's possible.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think we put up 40. Like I said, I think y'all put up 20, 24 points. I just think we got to get a little bit above that, obviously.
I think it goes without. I think Micah Parsons is the key for, because what Shanahan does well against the Rams is scheme to keep. Like Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald are non-factors every time we play them, just because of the way he schemes the offense with quick slants. Jimmy G gets the ball out of his hands in 2 seconds. He very well schemes around your pass rush and your cornerbacks. So really, I think Micah Parsons in the middle is going to be the key for y'all's defense stopping us.
I agree. I think you won't see Parsons blitz much. I don't think this is not a rushing the passer game for Parsons. This is a him and Van Der Esch in the middle of the field creating third and longs. And I think that for the Cowboys, the key is get the Niners on third and long.
And that's been our MO the entire season.
First and second. That's a good point.
And then rush, keep them at bay, maybe get them lost 2 yards, but keep them at bay on first and second, and then rush the hell out of the passer on third. Like that's where you've heard our defensive players say that multiple times throughout the year. We earn the right to rush on third downs. So if they're in third and long, I mean, we're going to tee off on them.
Yeah, third and long, I think y'all are fine. And I think the second level of y'all's defense is going to be the breaker in this game. And in y'all's favor, if we get y'all in third and anything, I can't tell you how frustrated I've been the last 3 weeks. We give up third down plays, and third and 15, doesn't matter. You're going to get that first, most likely. It pisses me off. So don't get secondary. Yeah. Don't get sad if you're in third and long, because we'll probably give it to you.
The one thing that I do think about the 49ers, you know, they're coming off this really big game, but the Rams are a divisional game for them, and you tend to play up to your divisional games. You tend to look better than you probably are. And that's the same for us. I think you know the other team very, very well, and you can scheme against them. And so I don't think we're gonna.
Our division's weird. We play up to the Rams. We beat them 6 times in a row. Even in the worst year the Seahawks have ever had, they swept us this year. Like, we can't play the Seahawks to save our life. I don't know what Pete Carroll has over the 49ers, but I think we went 2-4 in the division this year, and it was the Rams that we beat twice. I'm curious if there's any, not so much a hangover, but that game went in overtime, and like people like Debo and them, they're tired. Like, I know you have a week to rest, but that game was physical. It was hard hitting, and I'm sure it took a lot out. So I'm just curious if they just go in kind of, you know, not ready or not up to it. But I mean, they're professional athletes, so I don't know. But
yeah, more than anything, I just think they'll be. Did they already win their Super Bowl, right? By getting in the playoffs, winning that close game.
Yeah, there was so much hype around pulling that victory off that they just may come lay an egg and shit the bed next week.
I will say I don't want to say expect. I do like the matchup, to Mouse's point. At the end of the day, Jimmy G's maybe the worst quarterback in the NFC playoffs. So you want that. That's your most favorable matchup. And that's where you always start. And then to Mouse's point on defense, the Cowboys do everything they can to create third and longs. So if you're a Cowboy or just watching the game, Cowboy fan or not, I think that'll be a key to the game. Like I said, again, on the defensive side, offensively, if they can keep Dak upright,
yep.
Meaning the front five offensive linemen and Tyron Smith's back, actually – Smith, Parsons, Diggs are all back from. They're going to play. If the Cowboys can keep Dak upright and let him sit in that pocket, then I think it's game over. If he's struggling, if he's, you know, to Mouse's point, if they create third and longs on us, and then they can bring pressure because we're not doing much on first and second. And I know Josh said that they still tend to give up big plays on third down, but you don't want to get in that position. But I think if Dak has a clean – if he has a clean pocket, it'll be a good game for Dallas. And I think two players to watch for, Zeke, is he able to stay in the game for a long time physically? Because he's going to be extremely important picking up the blitz or just picking up the rush in general, because he's the one that can give Dak another 2 or 3 seconds with how good he is pass blocking. And on the other side, Leighton Vander Esch. You know, he's the big run-stuffing linebacker. You know Parsons is going to go up sideline to sideline. You know what you're getting with Parsons. But if Vander Esch can have a good game where he's filling the gaps, making plays, making open field tackles, I think that'd be the key.
And I wonder how much we run my and Keanu Neal because of the speed they have on offense.
It's going to be more of a physical. I mean, they run the zone blocking downhill. I think you get more Vander Esch than you do Neal.
I hate thinking of LV being our savior on the run D because he picks the wrong holes so many times. I get so frustrated with that man trying to stop the run.
Somebody put up a stat that y'all's, I guess, edge run defense hasn't been great over the last few weeks, so expect us to test that in the first. Because Shanahan likes to throw pitches to Elijah Mitchell and let him go.
Yeah, now there's going to be a ton of motion. I mean, I don't have to tell you, Josh. I'm sure y'all run a ton of movement before the snap. So they're going to try to trick us, you know, out scheme us, and I think that's why preparation is going to have to be key for us.
they ran it 10 times in a row and then pitched it to Debo just to throw a pass. Like, Jimmy G didn't throw a pass for 11 plays, and they just really just lulled the Rams into some sort of, here he goes again, and then nice little pass. Debo does everything.
It's that Shanahan pedigree, right? When I think of top NFL coaches in terms of run schemes, I mean, it's got to be his pops.
They've been asking him, though, does he think our current crop of players really knows anything about the history of these two teams? And he said, no. He's like, I can't quote movies from the 2000s without them questioning what it is. He referenced Wedding Crashers. He's like, I'll quote Wedding Crashers, and they don't know what I'm talking about. So I don't think they really know this rivalry at all.
Do your legends hang around the team at all?
I saw a lot like leading up like into like training camps and whatnot. Jerry Rice always goes, he has famously runs up his hill and gets all the new receivers when they get drafted. But I don't know, throughout the year, not, you don't hear too much about it. It's primarily in training camp and Steve Young.
Okay.
Usually covering. Side note, Michael Irvin seems fairly worried about this game from what I saw online. He said that's the one matchup he didn't want, for as much as Mouse wanted it. He thought he wanted to avoid the 49ers.
Really?
And Michael Irvin's y'all's biggest cheerleader, so you should be scared, Mouse.
He tends to, sometimes he'll wear the opposite colors and throw out some
really Irvin flags. I feel like I see Irvin, like, the way y'all hate Aikman, I feel like Irvin's like, every time I see him, like, he's y'all's biggest cheerleader.
Oh, he's our hype man for sure. But he'll do some funny stuff. Like, if we need a win, we're playing Philly, he'll wear a green suit on NFL Network that day. So maybe he's just trying some reverse psychology type stuff.
Well, it'll be fun. Hey, Josh, will you promise to come back next week regardless of outcome?
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna be mad. I'm really excited for the game. I think it's the best matchup of the weekend. I think it's probably one of the closest matchups of the weekend. I don't know why it's a 3 o'clock game, but I'll definitely come back and talk about it.
I just wanted to ask you, because I didn't want people to think that, let's say the Cowboys win and people think I just drug Josh back here to make fun of him. Or if
a commitment closes the deal before.
If the Niners win, they don't think, oh, Josh is only coming back to brag. So we got to get it before.
No, I kind of said it at the beginning of the year when we were 3-5, and I kind of got laughed at in group text. Like, I'm genuinely getting to a place where I'm trying not to let sports upset me. I just want to enjoy sports while they're on. When my season's over, it's over. But I hate the dread of your season ending because it's so long till next season. So I just want to enjoy the games that I get. Like, unless we win the Super Bowl, it's going to be a shitty ending to the season. So. Whether it's now or losing in the Super Bowl, which, trust me, is very hard to deal with, it's all the same. So,
okay.
We will have how's Norman been on the outside? Josh Norman.
We benched him. really? He's been awful. I don't know the stat, but from the time he came in to the time we benched him after last week, I want to say he led the league in pass interference calls, and was just constantly getting burned. But the problem is we put Dante Johnson in his spot, and there was a reason Josh Norman was starting. So we lost our top two cover corners at the beginning of the year, and we've just been doing patchwork all season trying to figure out the best. Our pass defense, if you look it up, is not bad, but that's because of the front four pressure. Getting pressure on the quarterback. Like, if you throw deep, I hold my breath every time because it's either going to be a pass interference call or a completed pass. If I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm just throwing deep on first, second, and third down. Well, one of them will be a pass interference call.
All right. Good to know.
Well, I'm excited. Just to throw something in on the Cowboys, you know, this is when we hired Mike McCarthy, you know, we talked about it. There's two avenues to go. Do you go with the young, hotshot, new mind, someone that's going to be creative, or do you get the veteran coach who's, you know, been to the playoffs a ton, won a Super Bowl, know what it takes to get it done? And we chose, or Jerry chose, to go that route and bring in Mike McCarthy. So I think there's no doubt this is, if definitely one of the top two total teams that we've taken into the playoffs, right? Whether it's our defense or offense, even our special teams, we're blocking punts and field goals like never before. So now it's time for Big Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn to get our team ready and make sure we execute out there.
Oh, that's so, something that you mentioned his name. That's Dan Quinn's defense versus Kyle Shanahan's offense. They coach together, so they know each other well. Exactly. I'm curious.
In Atlanta, right?
Yeah, he was his offensive coordinator in Atlanta, which basically he just ran the offense. Dan Quinn oversaw the defense and the team. But I'm curious what they know about each other that will come out or help one side or the other in this game. And I'll say 49ers Twitter is significantly more confident than I am. They're way too confident going into this game. But I'm a little more hesitant to get ahead of myself.
Mouse, you said this is one of the more talented teams we've taken to the playoffs. If they're one and done, are you putting McCarthy on the hot seat? Are you ready to pull the plug?
Yeah.
Are you good? Like, where would your mindset be?
It depends how we lose. First off, because what if the offense comes out and puts up 40 points, and the defense just schematically they're lost, they're bumping into each other, there's busted coverages. Sure, he's does he have as much pull on the defensive side of the ball as he does on the offense? So I think that's one way to look at it. You know, we talked about last year and COVID, and we've said he's kind of got a mulligan for last year. So if you hire a head coach and we say he comes in his first year, wins 12 games, sweeps the division, goes to the wild card and loses, do you fire him in that first year? Probably not. He's definitely will be on the hot seat. And I think you don't fire him without giving him full reins of the offense. So I think Kellen Moore is his scapegoat. I think Kellen will be gone before Mike is. I don't think we get to the point where Mike's fired and Kellen takes over.
You think if they put up 40 and the defense is bumping into each other, Kellen Moore can't be a scapegoat in that scenario, though?
We may keep the same exact staff we have.
Yeah, if y'all get blown out, I still think y'all are fine with his staff. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's too early to make any drastic decisions.
Yeah, and then you look at all these head coaching vacancies and you look at the names that are repeatedly brought up over and over and over again and asking for interviews, it's our OC and DC, right? And so we got a good staff.
We're not gonna have it next year.
Vegas says Kellen Moore ain't going anywhere. Yeah, Dan Quinn, I guess Denver's the strongest possibility for him. I think Kellen's here unless he takes a garbage job somewhere in the East Coast.
I guess my rebuttal would be he's got an all-star staff. He's got Pro Bowlers all over the field. And a one and done, I don't know, man. That's tough. This is their best shot.
So you fire him?
I don't know.
Here's something else that comes up when you come to think of firing him. I don't know the stats, but I would venture to guess that first year head coaches, whether it's a veteran coach or new up and coming, first year head coaches don't win Super Bowls. Probably I don't know if they've ever won a Super Bowl. Something to look up, man. But.
You're really giving him that mulligan, huh? You keep calling him first year.
No. I'm not talking about the mulligan. So what I'm saying is, let's say you fire Mike McCarthy. We know how fast this window closes. You know how fast this window closes on NFL teams. And so if you fire what's our window next year? And now we're saying a new head coach. You know, you almost have to ride it out at least one more year with Mike. And so that's what I meant by thinking about the first year head coach.
Okay.
And I mean, to your point, John, like you have all these Pro Bowlers, like you just, I'm not saying this about the Niners. You just run into a team that also has talent. I mean, it doesn't mean you guys, your coach sucks. You just come into a team that has equal talent.
That's true to an extent, but,
Now, if y'all went in and got blown out by the Eagles, then yeah, I think that's a different conversation. If y'all go in and lose to the defending Super Bowl champs or the one seed Packers, then yeah, I mean, it's. I think it really just kind of depends on who the team is, how the game goes, what happens. If it just you just outcoached drastically and it's noticeable, then maybe, but I don't see that happening.
Okay. Yeah, and not that Vegas is, you know, they know it all, but they're not in the business of losing money. In terms of the games this weekend, we are the lowest spread, right? They have Dallas by 3.5.
Which is already bad.
Yeah, so they're calling this a close matchup.
It is.
Yeah, it's 3.5. Everybody else is like 5, 8. Let's see.
Kansas City, Pittsburgh's got to
be 12.5. Yeah, 14.
So what do you guys think of the rest of the playoffs?
There's a few games I'm pretty excited to watch. I like the Bills-Pats.
Bills-Pats would be good. 13's a charm.
Yeah, I'm pulling for the – I like to root for the – I like Josh Allen, so I'm pulling for the Bills.
I was going back and forth.
Out Pittsburgh.
I was going back and forth with a buddy earlier today asking about the Raiders, Bengals. Who do y'all got in that one?
I'm going Bengals.
Yeah, me too.
I they're another team I kind of like to root for. I like Joe Burrow. And
the same buddy asked me the same question.
He did?
Oh, yeah. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase is good. Like, he's really good.
Yeah, the season he put up is stupid. It's like, yeah, it's nuts.
When the Bengals made that pick, instead of taking the tackle from Oregon, I thought it was a bad decision just because, you know, you give your franchise quarterback an all pro left tackle, but Chase has been everything for them, and that combo is going to be good for a while.
But even more so, you're getting your quarterback back who just had MCL, ACL, and everything his knee explode. You think, let's give him some protection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they made the right choice. Good.
Yeah,
good
it worked out.
And they have one of those young hotshot offensive coaches. I go Bengals over the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm picking the Bengals, the Bills, and the Chiefs on that side to win.
And then Bucks.
I'll take the Bucks over the Eagles.
Easily. Obviously, we all three have the Cowboys. And then Okay, so I want to ask you,
night.
Josh. Rams or Cardinals? Because it's your division.
Rams, because Cardinals don't have DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't know if Watt's going to play. I want to say he was iffy last I heard. I think the Rams will take that game.
Okay.
And just for Spurs and Salsa Land and Mouse, and I've already told you, John, if the 49ers are out, I'm all in on the Cowboys this year. So I'm pulling for them. If they – no hard feelings if they beat us. They'll be my rooting interest for the rest of the season.
From the NFC, I'd probably go Niners too because I hate Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady, I don't hate him, but I don't want him to win again. And then the other ones would be Cardinals.
The Rams. You could root for the Rams.
Eh.
I can't root for either of them two. I don't care. I don't have anything against Brady other than, I just don't want him to win another one.
I also hate Kyler Murray, so that's a no-go.
Does it feel weird,
Josh Reynolds JD? Isn't on the Rams anymore.
No. Does it feel weird, JD, saying if we're out, you're rooting for the 49ers?
You can root for the AFC at that point.
That's true, too. No, I'm a big Kyle Shanahan fan.
Yeah.
I look at that 49ers offense, besides Deebo Samuel and Kittle, I don't see one player besides those two that could start for Dallas. And the fact that Kyle Shanahan's able to scheme, I mean, Josh just ran down, I think it was overtime he was talking about, the last 11 plays. The fact that he's able to get it done, like, it's just, I'm very impressed. It's a fun team to watch because he's working around Jimmy G and he's making it work, and that's impressive to me. Kind of like Georgia. I mean, Georgia stacked everywhere but the quarterback for some reason, and they made it work.
Because y'all have Zeke, I won't say Elijah Mitchell would start for y'all, but if he's, I want to say, 40 yards behind Zeke on the season and he missed 6 games, yards per carry, he's near the top. Like, I think he's special if he can stay healthy. But he finished eighth. Wherever Zeke was, he was seventh or eighth. Elijah Mitchell was eighth or ninth. He was right behind him in yards by about 40 yards, and that was missing six games this season.
Yeah, but so he has a, I mean, Zeke and Pollard kind of split carries.
Yeah, our whole team carries the ball in San Francisco. Like, and again, he missed six games total. I'm just saying, I think missing six games, he says it'll be hard to keep him off the field this weekend. He still has a, he said between a brace and adrenaline, he'll likely be out there. And that's a probably top two offensive linemen in the league right now. He's graded the highest. It's going to be a good game.
Here, yeah. Mitchell's right behind Zeke.
I think he missed six games. I'm hoping that's not a lingering thing, a career thing. Otherwise, I think we have found another. We seem to whiff on about 50% of our first, second round picks. But if we grab somebody in the fifth or sixth round,
your money.
We got George Kittle in the fifth. We got Fred Warner in the fifth. Debo came in the third. I think that wasn't that late, but yeah, we have several people across our board that came in the fifth round. That that's the joke, is we'll trade the first round picks. Don't trade the fifth round picks.
Hey, shout out to Kittle, because I saw a thing on Instagram earlier. I think the NFL put it out, but they're asking him a bunch of questions, and they asked him his favorite football movie, Remember the Titans or Friday Night Lights, and he said Friday Night Lights.
Kittle's, yeah, I'll take Friday. I like both of those movies. They're probably both in my top three football movies, but Friday Night Lights is above. It's a lot grittier and more like rough feeling, and I like that. Remember the Titans is very Disney.
Yeah.
But Kittle is probably my favorite current player. He's just the happiest guy on the planet.
Do you wear jerseys for the game?
No. I really don't even wear shirts too much because they don't usually fit.
So you're just there just in shorts?
No, I mean, I don't wear 49. Like, I'll order a 49er shirt almost every year. And it's a coin flip on whether it's true to size and it fits me. But I can't just go to Dick's. Like, if I'm going to order something, I got to order it and mail it. And I'm not going to keep mailing shirts that don't fit to my house.
Back and forth.
I have a closet filled with 49ers jerseys, mostly nobody that plays anymore. I'll see if I could squeeze into my T-shirt for the game on Sunday. It's E40, Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The shirt. But so we'll see if it fits.
I have two questions. One, is E40 a Niners fan?
Yes, he's a Bay Area guy.
Okay, could have been Raiders, but all right.
No, yeah, it's 49ers.
Two, if I invite you over for the game, are you going to at least put a shirt on?
No, only invite him over if he doesn't wear a shirt.
I might put a wife beater on, but otherwise, no.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, the amount of clothes I order off the internet that don't – I have a really nice Spurs Fiesta Color team jacket from NBA.com that I've never worn, doesn't fit.
Did you order it this year?
No, I ordered it last year when they
– okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So, we'll next week will be fun. Someone's going to be excited. Someone's going to be a little bummed. But it'll make for a great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking with football, I mentioned Bama, Georgia. Georgia got it done.
Good for them.
First time in 41 years. And more importantly, it's kind of their break. They've been recruiting at a very high level for the last 5 or 6 years. They made a title game once and lost to Bama, but this is their breakthrough. They got it done. They got it done with a former walk-on quarterback, which I don't understand how they could recruit at such a high level, but be depending on a walk-on. But that's neither here nor there. They're the champs. Did you guys watch the game? And if so, what did you guys think of the game overall?
I watched first half, and it was a field goal contest.
That's right. First half was boring. You watched the wrong half.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I really, like, outside of just being a sports fan, I had no rooting interest in the game. And I think I just assumed Saban would probably win again. Didn't care. I missed the exciting part of the game, I guess.
Yeah, I was kind of like Josh. I watched the first quarter and then started watching some TV shows. And then I was keeping an eye on my phone and maybe with like 8 minutes left, I was like, oh, this is about to get good. So threw the game back on.
All right.
What about you, JD? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. It was, again, the first half was a little boring, but even the first half, the defense, like how fast these guys are. Like there's so many pros on the field, and their defenses were just so fast. Even the big guys just running down running backs. And then, of course, the second half, the coaches made enough adjustments, started scoring touchdowns, and just seeing all the talent on the field was amazing.
There was another thing when I was watching the first half. It felt like it was just a game that Bama was about, like, the score didn't show it, but yes, it just felt like they had the momentum, and it just felt like it was about to break open, and it never did. So credit to Georgia for not letting momentum swing, because it looked like things were just not going Georgia's way in the beginning.
You're 100% right. That is how it felt, because Bama just kept settling for field goals, but you thought, okay, Georgia cannot keep them out of the end zone forever. But those early field goals kept Georgia in it and ended up being the deciding factor. They were able to pull away with a few touchdowns. It's nice having a new champion. I know it's still in the SEC, but Georgia, again, they haven't won in 41 years. I think Georgia's going to be one of those programs that sticks around. And I know it's hard to say, right, because when LSU won a few years ago, I thought they would be one of those, and they fell off. Clemson has taken a big step back, but Georgia's been recruiting well, and I think this is just the start. I really think Georgia's going to be around for a while. I think Bama, Georgia, and Ohio State have put themselves in position to kind of be on cruise control, where they'll get top five recruiting classes every year, and they'll be competing for a playoff spot every year. It'll be interesting who starts to challenge them.
Well, we'll see what Kirby Smart does with all that talent. Starting next year, they're going to be everybody's Super Bowl, right? They're going to be everybody. They're going to get everybody's best shot, and it's going to be hard to stay up there. It amazes me how Saban does it. I mean, even though his talent, you know, just keeps coming in, it's just to have so much turnover, whether it's with players or, you know, coordinators. He just stays at the top echelon of teams.
There might be some chipping away at his dynasty, because the one thing the transfer portal has done is it gives players enough mobility to jump to another program right away. So, for instance, Alabama has two amazing outside edge rushing linebackers, and they have a five-star. One of the five-star recruits is one of their backups. Well, he's from Texas, and he jumped in the transfer portal. He's like, why am I going to wait around? Because usually Saban can reload because he's got five stars stacked on five stars.
Yeah.
But now some of those guys are wanting to leave. If they're not starting right away, they can go somewhere else. So we'll see how the transfer portal chips away a little bit at what Saban does, only because it'll be a little harder to convince players to just wait their turn. You know what I mean? He's done that so long and so well for the last 10 years. But with that, it'll get tougher. But we'll see. I'm not counting him out. I'm just saying his grip might not be as tight as it's been.
Strong, yeah.
And we'll see how the transfer portal changes things. But I think that'll be something he needs to keep an eye on. Having to re-recruit those guys every year, you know, asking them to wait their turn. But we'll see. That's really it for college football for now. We'll dive. I think there's another signing day in 2 or 3 weeks, but most of the guys have signed already, so we won't dive too much into college football unless there's reason to. Until next year.
Real quick, to go back to the NFL, the Cowboys, Niners, probably the most important question I didn't think to ask. Are you guys going to watch it on Nickelodeon?
Wow,
you know,
is that real?
Yeah, they did it. It was fun last year. I wouldn't want to watch my game that way. I kind of wish it was another game.
Exactly.
But it was fun to watch last year. But I won't watch it because it's my game, and I want to watch my game for real. But it was fun last year. They pretty much explained football to kids. Like, it had Nate Burleson, who has just run away with being a good cameraman or guy on camera talent. So he was really good. There were some kids there. And it was just kind of explaining football like what a first down was, what a, you know, what the scoring was like, and then Nickelodeon slime and all that, like just CG'd in the end zones. It was fun, but I just don't want it to be our game.
I think what I'll do is record it and play it back for my kids later in the week. Now my older kid doesn't really need it, but I think maybe you think it's cool. My younger one is getting into football, and I think he'll get a kick out of that.
If the 49ers do win, will your older son be real mad at me?
Like,
I know he knows I don't play for them, but he's going to be mad. He's got to direct that anger somewhere.
You know what? I'm going to text him right now.
I want to say that my kid has great manners and he'll treat you with the utmost respect.
Until I leave.
But I don't want to lie on my podcast. He might say something.
I was going to say, I know your kid.
Whoa, what does that mean?
Hey. No, he's not mean, but when it comes to sports, he's ruthless. He'll tell me to my face he hates my team.
Yeah, he'll definitely, yeah. If y'all win, he might comment on your lack of shirt.
Well, now I got to make sure I wear a shirt.
Oh, man.
But he'll keep it classy, hopefully. We'll see.
We'll have a cool story.
I'll report that back next week, too.
Yes, exactly. All right, Josh, I don't know if you remember this, but the world wants to know, what are you watching?
I'm glad you asked. I think the only thing brand new that I watched, and y'all may have already talked about it, is Cobra Kai. I'm a big fan of that show. They've yet to let me down in any of the seasons. Have y'all already had long discussions about this new season?
No, because Mouse doesn't like it, so I'm kind of on an island. But I'm glad
you're man. It this season was as fun as any of the other seasons. They do the best at mixing in nostalgia with new storylines and humor. Johnny Lawrence has to be one of the most likable like jerks now.
Yeah.
Like he's funny in all his flaws. I don't think they play up so much the Barney Stinson, isn't it Barney, the whole Karate Kid's the bad guy, but they really make him less likable than some other people on that show. So it's just fun. I'm a big fan of it. I'm ready for new season.
One thing that's surprisingly good about that show is how nobody's all good or all bad. Right?
Oh, they're the best at making me like people I hated. Hawk? Like, I've had a roller coaster of emotions towards the character Hawk.
Yes. All of them.
There's probably one or two where I, even the I can't think of her name, the chick that's part of Cobra Kai that beats up on his daughter. They make you kind of feel for her this season. Like, you still hate her. She sucks, but they give you enough backstory to go, well, dang, man, like, she's had it rough. And it's like, yeah, this show's probably better than most at. I don't know who I really like other than Johnny at this point. And even he pisses me off because he can't stop tripping over his own feet. Like, everything's going well and just one little thing tips him off. And I'm like, damn it, Johnny, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show's great.
I can't think of a show that's done a better job of what we just talked about. Like, at one point you dislike every character and at one point you like most characters.
Yep.
You understand both sides. And I think going into it, they wanted to tell both sides between Johnny and Daniel, and it just bled into the entire show.
But expanding that out with so many other characters is just done very well.
It is. You're right. I just finished it the other day.
I
kind of wish Netflix only gave us one a week.
Me too.
Because now it's just done.
Yeah, that was with the Disney shows. Like, right in the heart of COVID, when WandaVision started, we couldn't really go anywhere. So every Friday, I'd go to my friend Eddie's apartment, and a few of us would meet up there. And it was just kind of felt like old school TV, where you talked about what happened in the episode, what you thought was going to happen. And it kind of, it was fun. Now I watched Cobra Kai in 12 hours.
It took me a week, maybe 10 days to finish it. And I felt like I was the last person alive to finish it.
Yeah, you probably were. But I'm real behind on everything Disney and Marvel right now. I'm still having like work done on my house, so like I have my TV hooked up, but I don't have any, like, it sounds crappy, and so I don't really want to watch any of that stuff right now. So I'm gonna have to binge Disney Plus once they finish.
Okay. Anything else on your list?
I watched a documentary from 2 or 3 years ago, The Staircase. Did either of you watch it?
Is that the one where the lady dies and they don't know?
Yeah, if he did it or not. They found her at the bottom of the staircase, and
that's
it was
a good one.
Whether she slipped or not. And I still have 3 episodes left, or 2.5. That's one where I don't know what's going to happen to the guy, but I can't decide whether or not I think he did it.
Have you seen that, Mouse?
No, I haven't. What is that on?
It's Netflix. It's good. It's a true crime, like true story. This guy got charged with murder, and they've just pretty much videotaped everything. So it's all behind the scenes about what him and his lawyers are talking about, what the prosecution's talking about. It's really good, and you're going to go on a – the first episode, I was like, oh, man, this poor guy. And the second episode, I hated him. And it feels like every episode they make me have a new opinion. They're doing Cobra Kai with it. But yeah, I still can't decide whether or not I think he's guilty, and I think that's part of the allure of the show is it keeps you thinking.
Did you Google to see what happened?
No.
Don't.
And this guy at work was the one who told me to watch it, and I was like, I watched probably 5 episodes the first night, and I was like, you know how hard it is not to Google, and I didn't because I never watched season 2 of Making a Murderer because I Googled him so much after the first season that I was like, well, I know he's still in there and I kind of know what his lawyer's doing. So I really had no desire to watch season 2 and I didn't want that to happen with this show.
Good job. Good job. Because that's one of the documentaries that shocked me.
So, well, don't tell me that because now I'm going to want to Google it more.
No, don't do that. Just finish it.
I'm almost done. I hopefully will be done by next week and then my guest appearance. I'll tell you what I thought.
Okay.
But that's it. I can't really watch much TV right now.
All right, Mouse, you're up.
All right, so I watched Showtime. Oliver Stone's got a JFK documentary called JFK Revisited.
That's what I've been meaning to watch. I'm so glad you reminded me.
Yeah, I think it might have come out last year, and then they released it on Showtime in November, I think. But it's a great documentary. I'm far from being a conspiracy theorist and all that. And I usually don't go down those rabbit holes, but man, they raise some great questions and prove.
Have you seen the movie though?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, but I can't remember it because what was that, like early 90s, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I know I've seen it, but I can't really remember it. I can kind of picture some of the court scenes.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's on HBO Max, I think, right now.
Okay, yeah, so check out that documentary. It's on Showtime. Yeah. I watched 2 more episodes of Man in the Arena, which is a Tom Brady 10 series or 10 episode documentary on ESPN Plus. 7 and 8 are about the Atlanta Super Bowl win and that comeback, which for me put him as the greatest of all time.
Okay.
And then the Philly loss. And watch another. Man, my list is kind of long. I kind of feel like Big Joe. Y'all remember him?
No, not really.
Do we remember him?
Wow. So I watched The Alpinist. I think that's on Netflix.
I wanted to watch that because I watched another one about mountain climbers a couple weeks ago, and then that one popped up in my recommended.
Yeah. So did you watch Free Solo or?
I watched, I don't remember the name of it. It was a dude from a country that doesn't get credit for being mountain climbers. I can't remember. And he climbed like the 14 highest peaks.
I watched that 2 weeks ago, 14 peaks. Dang, yeah, Josh, are you still using my Netflix login or maybe I'm using yours? Cause
I was about to say, there's so many people logged into my Netflix account. I watched 14 peaks and that's what put The Alpinist on my recommended. I want to watch it.
Just like me, same exact thing happened. So I watched that, and then so anyway, Alpinist is about, you know, there's pretty famous guys that do free solo, which is like climbing mountains and steep terrain without any ropes or anything like that. And they're probably the most popular one is called Free Solo. Well, the Alpinist kind of follows another guy, a Canadian guy. So watch that on Netflix. Definitely a good watch. Was down the documentary kind of road, and I finally watched Icarus on Netflix. I don't know if y'all have heard about that. It's basically the guy who it talks about steroids and steroid use and he wanted to be able to prove that you can use steroids and beat the system. Basically, everybody was doing it in the biking world back during the Tour de France, and you know, you think Lance Armstrong and that. And so he actually connected with the Russian head of their anti-doping agency. And so they uncover all sorts of stuff. That guy actually helps them use steroids and beat the system and test clean. Super interesting documentary about that. Shoot, to ramble. I got Dexter on Showtime. Do you watch Dexter, Josh?
I have not seen the reboot, prequel, whatever you want to call it, but I love Dexter.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, so same way, we absolutely love Dexter. We've been watching the like you said, the reboot. It's called I don't know what it's called, but the new Dexter. It ended last week, and so I saw the finale, and I think it's kind of, like, people either love it or hate it. I loved it. I thought it was great. I don't want to give anything away.
It seems mixed from what I've read.
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean it ended? Like, is it done again?
I don't know. The season ended, but I don't know if this was a one-off or if they planned on doing more. Or if this was because people hated the finale of the original run, which I didn't, but everybody did.
I get you.
So I didn't know if this was a chance to clean that up, but then I read they still left it to where people either loved it or hated it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did the same thing again. Yeah. I don't want to dig into what happened, but definitely one way or the other. Started watching 1883, which is the Yellowstone prequel on Paramount Plus. That's a hell of a show.
Yes, you know. I just started it. That's on my list. It was amazing.
Do you need to know Paramount to watch 1883? Or not Paramount. Do you need to know Yellowstone to watch 1883?
Nope.
Mm-mm, not at all.
So I can keep up with 1883 since I fell behind on the other one. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And then the only other thing that I've talked about this months back, maybe even last year sometime, and y'all need to watch it. I know Americans don't do a lot of international films or TV shows, but Gomorrah, which is the Italian kind of crime show, and I think I described it as like Sopranos. It's one of my all-time favorite shows. So it's on HBO Max, the first four seasons. They released season four, I think, a couple months back. But for some reason, when I was trying to play it for my TV, I like it to play in Italian with the real people's voice and then read the subtitles in English. And for some reason, when I was playing season four, it was like English dubbed. So it was like a horrible.
Do you not change that? Like, I've changed it on other shows. I don't know if that one's a one-off, but
so
there's other shows where, because I like to watch it the way you do. I hate overdub shows.
Yeah.
So there's usually a way you could switch it within the Netflix app.
Yeah. So it was, the thing was weird is on HBO Max, and I was watching it on Roku.
Oh, it was
on
HBO,
my Roku,
sorry.
TV, and I wouldn't. It wouldn't let me change it. Like I tried to wait, like signing out, signing back in, it wouldn't let me change it. So finally I pulled up my phone, and it played right on my phone and my iPads. So I think it has something to do with the HBO Max app on Roku, because that button wasn't there on my phone or the iPad, so I ended up having to watch it on the iPads. But there's five seasons. I think the fifth season is going to be released on HBO Max here in the next couple weeks, sometime in January. But the first four are out. Man, this show is amazing. It's great. It's a hit over there. And if you like, again, Sopranos Wire style TV, you got to check it out. And that's called Gomorrah.
Real quick, because you talk about foreign language. Did either of you ever watch a show called Dark on Netflix?
No.
It's if you like Stranger Things, it's like a darker Stranger Things. It's German. You have to read it. But it's, I don't want to say anything about it, but Mouse, if you don't mind reading stuff.
No, I don't mind.
It's great. The acting is great. The story is great. The pacing is great. I would recommend. Highly recommend.
Dark. Okay, I'll look into that. Dark. Add that to my list. JD, what about you? What's on your list? That's it, man. I feel like I was going for 10 minutes.
I got Paramount Plus, and I ran through 1883. I mean, there's only four or five episodes. God, it's so good. It is really good. And for those of you that aren't into Yellowstone or you don't know what we're talking about, 1883 is basically Oregon Trail.
Yeah, for sure. Are you going to float the river?
You died of dysentery.
Yeah.
Think of Oregon Trail, but brutally honest. Like, this show's brutal. And it's really, really good. I think I like all the characters. I like how realistic it is. But it's also like, dang, who am I rooting for, man? I don't know if anyone's going to make it to Oregon.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's a really good show. It's really, really good. Really well made. I'm also watching Book of Boba Fett, one of the Disney Plus shows Josh was talking about. I think there's 3 episodes so far. They come out every Wednesday. Obviously, if you're a Star Wars person, you know who Boba Fett is. If not, you don't. So far, I like it. I like it a lot. Disney Plus, they don't hold back on their TV shows. They give them quite the budget. These TV shows look exactly like the Star Wars movies. So I'm glad they don't skimp out when making it. But yeah, I'm enjoying that a lot. I started Abbott Elementary. That's a comedy on ABC.
For some reason, I thought it was NBC, but it could be ABC.
I think it's ABC. I'll double check while I talk. It's a comedy about these teachers in a public school in Philadelphia and how they're underfunded and trying to make do. It's a very funny show. It's a great show. I think there's been 4 episodes. It's a brand new show. There's been 4 episodes. It's also a little sad because it's very honest with like how they're underfunded as a school. And I know teachers have been saying it's extremely accurate. But I really recommend that show. And the only other thing... Oh, I watched a documentary on Hulu called Pharma Bro. For those that
Is that that guy with the punchable face?
Yes.
Oh, I hate him. Martin Scorsese or whatever.
Scorsese, yeah. It was punchable a good documentary. Do you know
he has the world's most punchable face.
No.
He bought a pharmaceutical company, and he bought a pill that cost the people with HIV and cancer $1, and he raised it to $700 a pill.
Wow.
And if he got famous. People were calling him Pharma Bro, and people were calling him the most hated man in America. What makes this documentary, besides the fact that he's an interesting character, the guy making the documentary is kind of a weirdo and a little bit obsessed with Pharma Bro. Like while he's making this documentary, he moves into Pharma Bro's same building, and he approaches them. Hey, I live in your building, man. And the documentary is just as much about the guy making it and how he's a little. I think
that's
he's a little
creepy.
Obsessed. It's yeah. Creepy. It's mainly about Pharma Bro and how he rose to fame and how he got in trouble with the law and why he does the things he does. But it's also a little creepy about the guy making the documentary. Because it's a young guy, too. So he talks to the camera a lot. And it's extremely interesting. And that's on Hulu. And then I watched a movie called Tinder Bar.
I want to see that.
It's good. It's really good. It's about a young boy who wants to be a writer. He's from a broken home in the 70s. And his uncle, who's Ben Affleck in the movie, kind of looks after him. It's a true story. The memoirs, I guess, spoiler alert, the boy does become a writer.
Oh.
Because, it's based off the writer's memoirs of his life. Really good movie. It's on Amazon Prime for free. It came out last week, so it's a brand new movie. No other famous people are in it.
George Clooney directs it.
Yes.
I was going to say, there's a director. The director is somebody. I couldn't think of the name.
Yeah, George Clooney directs it. It's really good. It's set in the 70s. And Ben Affleck, it's not like a feel-good story. Like, Ben Affleck isn't... He's a really good person in this movie, but it's not like he's like an angel. You know, he's a bartender who looks after his nephew. It's a cool story. Really cool. I recommend it a lot. And I think that's it on my list.
You were, there was a while you were going through Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Did you finish or just give up?
I kind of gave up. I got to season 4 and it was just kind of losing me.
I don't remember what seasons were what in that.
4 or 5. I just haven't gone back to it.
Did you ever do 30 Rock?
Yes. I like that one a lot.
I saw there was a clip on just a snapshot somebody posted on Facebook with Tracy Morgan saying, "Liz, I finally figured out the ending to that movie Inception or whatever. All those names are people who worked on the movie. Like, he didn't figure out the ending of the movie, just the credits. And it just made me, I was like, I think John started watching this. I don't know if he finished it.
Yeah, that was really good. I liked it. Now, Josh, you may remember that at the end of the show, we do a food review.
It was one of my favorite parts.
I'm going to throw it to you.
What did I eat?
So I went to a place, and I wanted to review this for a while, and it's been coming up on Twitter a lot. But now that you're here, I don't know if there's a bigger fan than you. Well, there is, but you're a big fan of this place. Josh, I want you to tell the people.
I feel like I know where this is going.
When you go to Ingram Mall, what do you like to eat there?
Sarku, Japan, yummy, yummy chicken.
Give me a review, man. What do you like? Why do you like it? What's so good about it?
The best thing I could say, if I was on death row and I had a final meal, it might be yummy, yummy chicken. I can't tell you why it's so good. And it's just teriyaki chicken with rice. But good God, there's something in the seasoning of that chicken. You could tell me it's something disgusting, and I don't care. Like, it's amazing. It's all I ever get is fried rice and teriyaki chicken. I've had friends get the noodles, and they also have teriyaki beef and shrimp. But teriyaki chicken, when they opened up, because it's been 10, 12 years now, it's been a while since they've opened that up, but it was $2.99, and they treat it like your first hits free sort of scenario. Like, there's like crack dealers, because now it's $8, but they knew they were going to get you in the door with $2.99. But I wasn't prepared to review this place. It's just great for coming out of a mall, like Sarku Japan, yummy, yummy. They used to yell too, yummy, yummy chicken, and they throw their spatulas in the air. They don't do that anymore because they know they got the hook.
Wait, is that really the name, yummy, yummy chicken?
No, they would yell. It's called Sarku, Sarku Japan. Uh-huh. Yeah, but the chicken teriyaki, if you look at their grill, their griddle, whatever you call it, there's just big slabs of, like, I believe it's chicken thighs is the meat that they use.
Yeah.
And they used to make a show when they would cook it. Like, they'd yell and yummy, yummy chicken, yummy sauce. They don't do that anymore, but God knows it's one of my favorite places to eat.
And Mouse, you know why they don't do it anymore? They don't have time. They are so busy.
Oh, yeah, their line is almost always wrapped around the corner. I found, which weirdly you would think, like, right when people are getting off work, it might be crowded. But if you go between 4 and 5, it's okay. If you go during lunch, you're not going to make it back to your job.
Wow.
And Josh, wait, where is it? The only one.
It's in Ingram Mall?
It's in Ingram Mall. It's in the food court. And it's even expanded. It's a bigger spot now. Mouse, everybody that's had it sounds exactly like Josh. And I had it.
Right.
I had it the first time 2 months ago, and I've been wanting to review it ever since, but I just couldn't find the time. He's right. It's amazing. It is.
It's just
amazing.
Chicken and rice, like, and vegetables.
It is, yeah.
Like, you're not going to go there and order a fancy bitch. Chicken, rice, and I don't usually get the steamed vegetables, but it comes with steamed vegetables, and that's it. But it's, God, it's good.
And what I've had it in my back pocket to review. I did want to get Josh or somebody involved that I've only been twice. It was really good. And then it became a thing on Twitter the last couple of weeks. People talking about Ingram Mall, and that's the only reason to go there is that Sarku Japan. I'm telling you, Mouse, that thing has a following. And I wanted to put it on here now. If Ingram Mall ever burns to the ground, I think Sarku Japan will be the only thing standing. And people will stand in line for it. Like, it's good. It's really good. The funny thing is there's another Japanese restaurant in the food court. And that poor place looks like the saddest place in the world.
And it's like right there too. It's not far.
So they're there waiting to serve anybody that's willing to go, and they just see a long line at Sarku, and nope. The only people that go to the other one is the ones that don't want to wait in line.
No, there. I had a old coworker text me, and he was like, "What's the name of the Asian place in the mall that had the good chicken y'all used to go to?" And I said it was Sarku, and he was like, "Oh man, I just got my food from the other one." So it probably also gets the people who aren't sure
loser.
Which one it is.
What? Yeah, Mouse. We used to have a boss. We were only allowed to have an hour lunch, but if we were going to Sarku with him, he would give us 3 hours.
Wow. Do y'all eat it there? Or do y'all get it to go typically?
I usually eat it there. I've had it to go before. It holds up pretty well. It's, I mean, just hot chicken, so it stays good. But I usually eat it there.
I brought it home because I went to the mall to get something for the Cowboy store. And I thought, oh, I need to try that Sarku Japan that everybody loves. And it was really good. It is really good. It's worth going to the mall. I know some of our listeners might be afraid of Ingram Mall. Don't be, man. It's worth it. You might get in a fight on the way to the Sarku, but...
Is it bad? Like, that's kind of how I used to think of, like, Westlake's Mall before it shut down. But then somebody was like, I don't go to Ingram Mall. It's a ghetto. And I'm like...
Is it? It's hard for me to say, right? Because we grew up going there, so it's not that
bad. That's our mall, right? Like, Primo's our guy. Ingram's our mall.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to say. I'm sure outsiders think it's scary, but the Sarku Japan is worth it.
You're definitely bound to see some friends rocking Marbach Mops haircut for sure if you go to Ingram Mall, is what I hear.
You're gonna get hit up by the dude with the Eastern Oils. You know what I mean? You're gonna see the airbrush shirt booth guy.
You're gonna walk out of there with gold teeth, probably.
Yeah, you get a herringbone necklace in one of the kiosks.
I'm gonna get my No Limit emblem for my chain.
Yeah.
I got my Ingram Mall.
Last week. But no, Sarku Japan's good. And I thought to myself, that's perfect. That's what, you know, now that we have Josh we have Josh back for a few weeks, we got to get him talking about that.
Good times.
All right. Well, that'll do it. Be sure to watch the Cowboys Niners, whether it's regular TV or Nickelodeon. Go risk it all for the Japanese chicken and watch some, apparently, a lot of documentaries on Netflix.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, until next week. Go Spurs, go.